Excuse me, the recording is started.
Thank you very much, Jay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCUC Bylaws Revision call on Monday, 17th of October 2016. On the call today, we have Otto Hopsel, Aini Safadi, Rachel Pollack, Rafik Damak, Aidan Ferdinand, Tatiana Tropina, Anna Luke, Carlos Vera, Fazani Badi, Milton Muela, Tapani Taravainen, Amar El-Sada, Ed Morris. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind everyone speaking to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Rafik.
Okay. Thanks, Mariam, and thanks, everyone, to join us in the beginning of the week for such exciting discussion about the charter of the bylaws review. And thanks for everyone who took the time to go the draft and put comment and suggestion. So we are in this process of consulting and getting input in the initial draft and trying to respond to all questions and making amendments when needed. So we are continuing this process, and hopefully for this today call, we are trying to respond to some question that I guess we need more discussion with the membership to see maybe what's the best option there. So we, as maybe you saw the agenda, we are going to go through first some question that we shared in the list previous day. And then in the second agenda item is to go through some issues that we need to agree on. So just maybe as a reminder, please mute yourself if you are not speaking, and try to use the Adobe Connect to be in the queue, so we allow everyone to speak and participate. And hope that you opened the Google Doc in your site. Unfortunately, Adobe Connect doesn't allow us to see to share the Google Doc as it is in Adobe Connect. So. Okay, so let's start with the first agenda item. So we asked three questions, and I think there was already some comment in the main list. The first was about the NCAC bylaws and the alignment of NCAC bylaws. The other is the inclusion of removal of officer and members procedure in the bylaws. And the third is the participation of NCUC in the empowered community. Okay, so if I can comment for the first question, in fact, we are in this process to amend the charter or the bylaws because we wanted to update it and to make it aligned with the NCAC charter. So if there is any change in the NCAC charter, we may need to amend the NCAC charter, but it depends what kind of change happened there. So I don't think there should be any concerns, and we have a process to amend the charter anytime we deem it necessary. But let's give now a place for discussion for all who are in the call. Okay. Is there any comment or clarification about the first agenda item and the question we have? Yes, Tapani.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of obvious at this point that all we can do is to align the NCUC bylaws to the current NCSG charter. I don't foresee any obvious changes to the NCSG charter anytime soon that we should anticipate at this point. So just go with what we have now. Point is
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's why we have process. I mean, amending the charter, it's kind of a long process. At least it's not just at the AG level, but also at, it includes the board, the staff, and so on. So I guess it takes more than 6 months and beyond. So if it happens in the future, we will have to do anyway to align NCUC, but we have to get this done for now. And okay. Other than about the alignment, which I think it's more clear, what about the other two items? For example, for the empowered community, we added a new whole section for that. And thanks for Ed for the text. So, is it clear about the empowered community part and the impact and the expectation? I would hear also. I would like to hear from those who are involved in the GENESO bylaws drafting team. Yes, Fazana.
Hi, Rafik. So, Farzana Badi speaking. I have, can you hear me? Is it okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. As you can see in the bylaws, there's an added section, section 8, which predicts how we are going to decide the participation in empowered community. And there is also, because in the drafting team on the GNSO bylaws and the changes to GNSO bylaws to reflect the empowered community, we have not yet decided how we are going to participate at GNSO level. The section also predicts that the executive committee will decide in the future procedural manners. This will give us flexibility that when the drafting team actually decides on the drafting team has actually recommended which body should be responsible for participating at the GNSO level at the empowered community, but this has not been settled yet. So we have predicted in the bylaws that the executive committee and the chair will be responsible for coming up with the necessary procedural measures for the participation. I hope that is clear, but if there are members want to make comments on that, they can do so. We were thinking also to have a kind of like a transition clause in the bylaws that based on the decision of the GNSO, then we are going to predict how we are going to participate. However, I think we have drafted it to give the executive committee and the chair the power to decide on this, on the future of the participation in empowered community, which I think is a good solution. Well, members can comment on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It's kind of a transition phase. This is the issue when we may have several things moving on at the same time, but we need to do to get some stuff done before. Okay, any comment or question? D- don't be shy, guys. I mean, please feel free to participate and to intervene. Yes, Ed.
Thanks, Rafiq, and apologies for my voice. I'm a bit sick. I wrote these things more or less to be able to cover anything that may happen as we adopt the recommendations of the drafting team for the implementation of what we have to do in the GGNSO to meet the changes caused by the transition. So you'll see, for example, in Section 8, the first part of Section 8, Clause Section 8 does rip inspection requests, which are going to happen because it was covered by unanimous consent. But and that's Section 8. But B and C, reconsideration and the independent review process, at the moment when we file those, it's going to have to be as an outside community applicant because we're not covered. The NCUC itself is not a part of the empowered community. That may change. I mean, we have to have some discussions on the policy committee in India, but it may change so we may be able to file things as a member through the empowered community. So if you look at B and C, I've covered both third-party requests for reconsideration in IRP petitions, but also I've covered the situations in writing this if we are, in fact, given the permission to file as part of the empowered community. So on B, C, and D, we've tried to anticipate any possibility going forward so we don't have to rewrite the bylaws after change is made at the GNSO level. Thanks.
Thanks, Ed, for the explanation, and thanks again for the wording that those articles. Okay, Ed, is it an old or new hand?
Old hand, apologies.
Okay. So, is everyone here happy with this part, this new section, and understand the intention and the reason behind it? If I may ask one question, did we include in the whole section all the possible power that we may get at NCUC level? I mean, just to be sure there is no risk that we are missing something or we have to add something later. Yes, Ed?
Hi, Rafiq. Yeah, in Section D, we threw in a clause, except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, the EC shall be the representative voice for the NCUC for all matters involving the ICON empowered community, and we, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a catch-all clause. So if it's not recon, it's not IRP, it's not inspection, that should grab anything else coming down to us. So it should cover everything, I hope.
That's good. Thanks, Ed. We hope so. I mean, I guess we are probably, if we get this done, we are probably the first, maybe we can be the first constituency to get the powers included in the charter. We hope so. Okay. Other than that, any comment, question? And please speak up, guys. I mean, this is an opportunity to comment and okay, so I see a question from Tatiana. The bylaws timeline. I'm not sure what does it mean exactly, but I see Amr is want to speak. Yes, Amr.
No, thanks, Rafiq. This is Amr. I was just going to ask that same question about what the bylaws timeline is, and I'm not exactly sure. I'm guessing that if we have a deadline, it may be before the NCUC elections. I imagine that the new draft language from the GNSO operating procedures that takes into consideration all these new community powers. As far as the GNSO is concerned, I assume those will become available possibly following the Hyderabad meeting. So so if we're looking to finish, to get all that looked at and done before the upcoming NCUC elections, I'm not sure, but if we're talking about the NCUC elections the following year, perhaps, then yeah, then it's more than enough time. Thanks.
Okay. In terms of timeline, so we will announce the election timeline soon. We have to have the election at least before the end of this year. So if we can adjust as much as possible, but there is some limit here. And if we don't get the charter voted by this election, we will have to wait for the next. So I think we added this kind of section and made it indicated it's maybe kind of as a transition to be sure that we get this included for now. So anyway, if there is any change during Hyderabad, we still have an opportunity to make amendments to the draft. And we are planning a session during Hyderabad meeting to discuss about the charter and so on. So this is at least we include it for now, but in the coming weeks, if there is any changes, we can amend the edits. But just I want to be sure, we are talking about the GNSO approving the bylaw change, but still, I think the board have to approve them after that. I'm not sure about the process here. So we are not just talking about the GNSO approving the changes, but also the board later on, no? Amar, can you see you are responding to in the chat? Can you explain the point exactly?
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq. And I'm not entirely sure, but I don't believe that the GNSO plays a role in the NCUC's bylaws. I know our bylaws need to. Yeah, I think they can't conflict with the operating procedures, obviously. But as far as the process to get our bylaws adopted, I think it's just the NCUC and the board's organizational effectiveness committee that needs to work with us on this, and then the board has to adopt the new bylaws, but not the
yes. I'm sorry for the confusion. I was talking about the board approving the changes for the GNSO. For NCUC bylaw change or the charter change, the OEC and then the board. The GNSO is not involved at all in the process. And in the announcement I sent at the beginning, I shared the process. So, yeah, the GNSO is not involved here. And yes, there is also public comment.
Yeah, Rafiq, this is Amar again. If you meant the new operating procedures, then also I don't believe that the board has a role to play in those similar to our bylaws, they would have to be a public comment period, and then the GNSO council would adopt a motion to agree to the new language. But as long as no new bylaws need to be changed, then the board shouldn't have a role in that either. There may be a need to change some bylaws, but I don't think that will affect the operating procedures. But yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, if in the course of our work to revise the NCUC's bylaws, we want to make sure that, you know, we don't miss any role that the constituency has in the new powers. I'm just thinking, you know, a thorough way to kind of like be sure that we didn't miss anything is to look at the new operating procedures language, make sure we don't miss anything, and we don't have to wait until they're adopted. You know, we get a first draft. That would be a good reference. For me. But as I said in the chat, it's not absolutely necessary to wait for that. We can still work according to our own timeline, and if there's no time to look at the new operating procedure language, then that's not a big deal. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, Ed?
Yeah, I just want to share, Amar, that the language we've written in Section 8 covers any possibility that of anything that's going to be coming up in the operating procedures as a result of the drafting team's work and the new powers that are coming down to the GNSL.
Yeah, thanks. So, okay, I think we don't have to worry here. We have time to make changes if needed by Hyderabad meeting. So, okay. Are we on the same page here in agreement? Okay, so yes. Okay, if the other item is about inclusion of removal of officer and members procedure in the bylaw. So here, I think it's more about adding a specific text and we need some suggestion. The point that it was raised, but if there is any specific wording or suggestion, it will be really helpful. And this is also a general comment. When you please, you go through the document and you think there is need for change, really proposing a wording is really helpful in terms to solve the comment. Milton, we are talking about the questions here, I mean, not specific section. Okay, hearing no. Yes, Ed.
Just a quick question, Rafiq. Was there ever any consideration given to having an appeals procedure in place so that if somebody were removed for some of the reasons mentioned, that they would have an ability to appeal somewhere else? Here's my big concern about a lot of the stuff when we're talking about membership qualification. Membership innately is a responsibility of the stakeholder group. Then we have at the constituency level the ability to bring people into the constituency or not. One of my concerns in that we're sort of expanding our role here is that our friends in NPOC are likely going to be coming out of their charter review arguing that membership should solely be a responsibility of the constituency. That's something I would have a lot of trouble with because my fear is we'd wake up someday and find the IPC in NPOC to have the same membership. So I'm just wondering if you guys have considered the possibility of having an appeals mechanism in there for those who are removed, and B, the impact of the NCUC perhaps getting a little bit more specific involved in membership, the impact that would have on MPOC's ability to argue that they should be in charge of their own membership. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. I mean, if I can respond quickly about one point, I mean, they cannot for one reason because they can only accept members who are already eligible within an NCHG. So they cannot accept directly members. This is something we discussed it for many years and we argued about. So, but regarding the appeal, I don't think we have something about the appeal regarding the membership. I'm not sure, so I need to check. And we were also discussing about before about the removal of officer too. Farzani, you want to speak here?
Yes, I just want to clarify something. We keep calling it appeal, while it is really a review of the decision, because we are not going, like, they are not going to another body like the court or like an arbitration system to appeal decision of the executive committee. It's a review of the decision And I don't know if it's the right expression to use as an appeal mechanism. It's a redress mechanism, of course. Sorry, I'm just trying to understand that we mean by appeal, we mean that the EC or whoever is in charge of removal of members and officer reviews their decision on their own. There is no, like, external body at the moment that will do that. Thank you.
Yes, Ed?
Sorry, Pete. Gold hand. And thanks, Darcy.
Okay. Okay, so, Ferdinand, you think it should be a review, not an appeal or reconsideration? I mean, review or reconsideration, not appeal here. Okay. So we have two things about removal of officer and removal of members. Thing maybe to in particular for officer, it's not maybe clear. Yes, Farzan.
So, Rafiq, I recommend that for the next step, what we should do with the group, the executive committee can recommend a language in the bylaws, and then in the second review, the members can look at the language and see whether they want to make changes or anything. And, this can be discussed during the second review. Thank you.
Okay, so just to clarify, Fazan, you are asking about that we suggest a language for the removal of officer and members, and we provide that for the second draft for review. Okay, so you are putting this in in the EC side. I also saw that you are suggesting that we may get inspired by the NCAZ Charter. Anytime. Yes, Ed?
Yeah, I was actually just going to add that the NCSG Charter has a fairly decent section on removal of members, although not of officers. But what I would suggest, if we go down that path, one of the problems I even have with the NCSG thing is the appeal mechanism. You don't just want to have one group of individuals throwing somebody out. That's a pretty big decision. So it could be internally that the EC, for example, could remove a member, but the member could appeal, say, to the PC or to something internal. I just, from the looking at things in a matter of due process, you always want to have a two-step process. So you can't get a group of, say, three or four people for personal reasons that can chuck somebody out of here. You also want to make the reasons for letting people, for throwing people out, you don't need to be the same as the support group. But you want to make sure in situations where the reasons for excluding somebody are the same, that the decision process would lead to results similar both in the SG and the constituency. Because the last thing you want is for somebody to be tossed from the constituency for saying, for example, they're not part of a nonprofit group and having the SG rule, oh, no, we have different definitions for the nonprofit. They are. So you don't want a situation where you have conflicting results, because then that's going to lead to reconsiderations, IRP, and a lot of stuff that we don't want to get into and we don't want to afford. So when you look at this, I agree with Fazi. You want to take a look at the NCSG stuff first, but you also want to make sure you have some semblance of appeals mechanism as well within the constituency.
Thanks, Ed. I can assure you that such decision is really, really hard to take. I don't think anyone will make it easily, and that's why I think we will put clear language and several steps to ensure fairness here. Okay, so let's say that we will propose a language for the removal of officer and members inspired by what the NCAC charter say, and also we need to add an appeal mechanism, because just a review or reconsideration is not enough. We need something to add as regard for the appeal. Okay, so let's take note here. Please take note, Mariam says, to be ensured that we follow up for this item. And yes, Amma.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. I just wanted to quickly point one thing out, that the reasons why someone may be removed either from membership or from, let's say, the executive committee in the NCSG may not be the same reasons why that may be necessary in the NCUC. It may not just be a matter of membership eligibility. I just wanted to point something out that I mentioned on list. The officers in NCUC are elected for different reasons than those in the NCSG are elected. And then a big part of that is the regional role each of the regional executive committee members play. So if there are going to be reasons why elected officers are removed, it may be because of how well they're doing their actual job. I'm not saying that that will be the case, but it might be something that comes up. I just wanted to point that out just so that we don't unnecessarily marry the NCUC and NCSG processes too much, because they serve different purposes. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alma. Okay. So we got an action item here. Okay, so if there is no further comment or question here, maybe we can move to the other issues for discussion. There is no objection. Okay, so we got some... say some questions, some issues that we want to discuss with you. So the first is in section 1B. It's about the purpose of NCUC. There was suggestion to change it, but I think we have some disagreement about that part. And I see Milton want to speak already. Yes, Milton?
Okay, this is Milton Mueller. So I've just entered some language modifications responding to Kathy Kleinman's concerns. I think she's correct that we need to make it clear that we are in the business of basically defending non-commercial speech online, and that this section should have more emphasis on that and less on specific issues, and possibly also less on the specific types of organizations. I think the idea that our purpose is only to represent a bunch of folks is better modified to in the way that I propose. And I don't know why this phrase elected representatives is in there, because we also allow people to represent themselves by having this constituency. So I propose to strike that language through its elected representatives. There was other things in there. I don't know what public interest software concerns are. Maybe they're referring to open source, but I don't know. It's not clear. I really think it's best to make it clear our general purpose and what kind of organizations might want to join, and not get bogged down in making this section into a gigantic description of who we are and how accountable we are and blah, blah, blah. I think the meat of this is the bylaws. If we want it to be a promotional document, then we should have something on our website and something on our brochure, but the bylaws are not the appropriate place to be writing promotional brochures. All right, that's my two cents.
Thanks, Milton. Yes, I mean, I think from the beginning there was disagreement about this changes in the purpose of NCUC. So, yes, Kathy.
Milton and I are in emphatic agreement, but I wouldn't wordsmith this right now. I would take it offline and rewrite it. Going back to our history, there was the intellectual property constituency, and then the commercial stakeholder group came later, and we were the representatives, and we are the representatives of non-commercial speech online. That includes many of the things listed, but if we're only going to represent non-commercial interests, non-commercial interests can mean many, many things, including the Red Cross fighting for trademark protection. That's not what we're doing. And I'm not sure we're representing nonprofit services. We're representing a kind of speech that isn't protected by intellectual property necessarily. It's the difference between the internet as a stream of commerce and the internet as a stream of communication. And I'm happy to help try to capture that again. It was in our original charter. And the thing is that what's written here can be misused, and it can be misused against us in case certain organizations have interests that don't coincide with necessarily non-commercial speech. And we want to tap into the array of protections that exist around the world on these concepts. So I would take this offline. I would not wordsmith this here. I'm happy to work with Milton and others on drafting. And I'm going to have to go offline soon to go back to a rights protection mechanism subgroup call. But thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Just maybe to make things clear, there was a proposal of kind of new text, but it didn't really, I think it didn't really get so much support. And we are tweaking a little bit the old and the current text because there was some additions. So I don't think you should worry here, but it's better to review again and making some edits, like removing the part saying that through its representative and so on. But yes, I would think that we should keep the current text. Yes, Kathy.
Rafiq, could people label what's the current and what's the new? You know, what's the old and what's the new? It's a little hard to tell in some of not the version we're looking at, but in the edited version online, different things are highlighted. It's a little difficult to tell what's being proposed, what's old, what's new. It might be useful maybe to put in some quick edits so that we can follow this. Thanks.
So, what was suggested as the new text is was saying that the purpose of non-commercial user constituency is to represent through its elected representative the interest of and concern of commercial registrant and non-commercial internet user of GTLD. It provides voice and representation ICANN process to protect and promote diversity and consumer choice, human rights, freedom of expression, privacy, and so on. So that's the new text. The old text is quite long. I mean, I can put it in the chat, but I mean, maybe it's better. It's if people want to check later. But I think that's it. It's the new text is really about listing several kind of topics that we may advocate it or discuss it in the last years. Yes, Kathy?
Hi, to Farzi, I am in the Google Docs. I'm switching back and forth between them. To Rafiq, if what we're looking at is the new text and that's raising every flag in the book for me, maybe someone can cut and paste into the Google Docs the old text and new text, flag it, and we can create a newer text that combines both or something like that. But let me ask Farzi, can you see the old text in the Google Docs? It's a little hard to track what we're looking at here. Anyway.
You mean the bylaws Sorry, Kathy, so you mean what is the old text about the purpose of NCUC?
Yep. Is that the text that provides
on commercial users constituency? You mean Section B?
Is the old text, it provides a voice and representation ICANN processes to nonprofit organizations that serve non-commercial interests? Anyway.
I have to check that, but okay. Yeah.
I don't think we know. So, again, I'm happy to go with the small group that wants to kind of work on this from both a philosophical and a legal perspective. Thanks.
Kathy, that's the old text is that one. It's representation and ICANN processes. So, okay, I guess it's better maybe for people to check later that part. But in fact, the old text is in section 1, article B. It's the first paragraph, and the new text is the second paragraph. So you find them side by side. It's hard without sharing the Google Talk to show the old and new text, but okay. So it's maybe better to do this offline. And yes, Fazal.
Hi, Rafik. Sorry, I wrote that. I just wrote it based on what Bill Drake told us, that maybe we should get some issues from the brochure. So I thought maybe we want to work with a suggestion, and it is actually commented there. So there's a paragraph there that I put in. The purpose of the non-commercial users is to present blah, 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 freedom of expression, human rights, and stuff like that. So that's my text, if there's any confusion.
Yes. And that's what they were saying. That's the second paragraph. That's the new text. That's what it was proposing. Okay. So I guess we can move maybe to the second. We are already 45 minutes in the call. And I guess maybe it's better to go to the second issue here. But I see that Fazan and Milton raising their hand. Yes. Yes, Fazan, and yes, Meta.
So the second issue is about the adding accountability language. Sorry, I jumped in there because I kind of like tried to reflect what Matt Shear said, that we need to talk about accountability and add language to the bylaws. I added a few sentences just in general to say that the NCUC is committed and is accountable to its constituents through various mechanisms. You can look at the language section. It's actually section C. It's article 1, section C. And you can look at it and see if you want to keep it or if you have any suggestions. This is just to capture what Matt said, that we need to say how we are accountable. Thank you.
You mean Section 1, Article C?
I would say Article 1, Section C, but you can say that, yes.
Okay, whatever. I mean, I'm lost here. Yes, I see. There is the text. NCC is accountable to its constituent and maintains such accountability through election, term limits, consultation, transparency, which have been predicted in these bylaws and its other procedural documents. Okay. So, and then we detail. We put detail in the bylaws to. And the specific part there. Yes, Milton.
Yes, Milton Mueller. So I just want to get some action, specific action item here. So I know that Kathy is interested. Is there anybody else on this call that wants to be part of a small group that would circulate emails in the next day or two to finalize the wording on the Article 1, Section B? Anybody else can type in a chat, and I'll make a note of your name. I would say that Article 1, Section A is okay. It is B that needs the work. C is also okay. However, there's a paragraph under C that says, perhaps add something here on what NCUC commits to do vis-a-vis the orgs. I would just delete that. I think Article C is sufficient, and I hope we can get agreement on that right here and now. We do not put a discussion of how we report back on activities in the bylaws in general. We have specific procedures in the bylaws, and I think we're going overboard here with this section with Article 1.
Thanks, Milton. I already put my comment about that, and I think deleted because we put details in the bylaws or can be sometimes even a procedural. So I think we can delete that part if there is action. And meantime, yes, Tiffany?
Thanks, and I apologize. I'm still having tremendous problems with Adobe. My question, I didn't hear Milton speak because I hadn't dialed in by phone yet, and I have no idea why I can hear Rafiq and Kathy but not Milton, but I missed his fairly lengthy comments earlier. My question is, how do we hold our executive accountable to a group on matters of policy? And I realize that we're just about to merge Section D in with Section C, but there's accountability with respect to procedural matters, and we've had recent experience with, you know, ineligibility of folks and things like that. That's fine. But most of our work on the PDPs is policy work. How do we manage that? I think it's very difficult and controversial.
Tiffany, executive committee is not involved in policy, so... I'm not sure how you ask them to be accountable on that part. And that's why we are enacting or reactivating a policy committee within NCUC to have a space to discuss regarding policy development processes and so on. So,
okay, my apologies. I thought I just heard
by the question.
that was being merged in with C.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, we can text about the accountability of all officers or representative within NCUC and put that in their specific, specific article. But, yes, for example, we don't have, for example, for council and so on, I see the discussion in the chat that's not really part of NCUC. Okay. So regarding the adding accountability language, we have that... that's a new section, and we will put more details within the bylaws. Okay, any comment on this? Otherwise, we may move to the next issue. Okay, so the next point is about it's called the social purpose. Company, so the NCUC bylaws stipulate that organization should be non-commercial. There was a question, about the social purpose company that they are commercial and earn profit, in fact. So we want to solve this and to respond to this question. Yes, Ed.
Yeah, Rafiq, at least I can give you a definition under California law where presumably as part of ICON we more or less may be based. In California, there's something called a benefit corporation, not the public benefit corporation, which is probably what we'd be if we decided to incorporate in California. A benefit corporation is a for-profit corporation that has social purposes as part of their bylaws. So it could, for example, be a company that says we want to have a clean environment, thus we do this. It's part of perhaps their mission statement. I would suggest that we certainly do not want to involve them here. It's a similar reason that the National Football League, which, believe it or not, is a nonprofit organization consisting of for-profit members, it's even a more direct for-profit organization that I believe is already prohibited by our bylaws, new and old. So I don't think we have to do anything about it, but they certainly should not be admitted in the membership.
Yes, thanks, Ed, and thanks for being the example. I mean, to be honest myself, I'm not familiar with this in different jurisdictions, so I was not really supporting accepting them either. So, okay. So, do we have agreement that we should not really accept those social purpose companies? I think even if they have a good objective and they want to serve the community or whatever they want, I don't think they really have a place within in CUC. Okay, I can assume that there is agreement with what I said, so we got an answer here. Okay, so the second issue, it's about Section 3 in Article E, I think. No. Which is about if an official representative holds an elective office in NCOC, members cannot change their official representative until the individual term of the office is completed. This is an awkward situation, I think. Because in particular, if an elected, the elected officer, he's not anymore representing his organization, and so he's not really anymore a member of NCUC, but the text kind of doesn't allow the members to change or either to have this elected officer resigning. So it was raised by Avery, I think. So maybe we need her her to comment here. And I see that Tapani wants to intervene. Yes, Tapani.
Yes, it is rather impossible to require an organization not to change the representative halfway. But the NCST charter does this in a reasonable way, basically saying that in such an event, that position would be vacated and has to be filled by whatever normal procedures are for when a position is vacated. So I think that's about good enough for NCST as well.
Thanks, Stephanie. I think, yes, we have an NCST a provision to for vacated positions. So, it would make sense to allow the members to change their representative here. Tapan, you wanted to add something, or that's an old hand? Okay. Avery, you want to intervene?
Nope.
Hey, thanks. yes, for Zenny, I think we can take that NCUC text and adjust it to the NCUC. And Mariam, are you taking notes about this action or not? So please. We need to follow up later.
Yes, Rafiq, I am.
Okay, can you please put that in the discussion notes so people just to confirm that we called them? Okay, so we can put as an action items for the eligibility, okay, official representative organization holding office at NCUC, we can use, I have hard time to read the chat. We can use NCAG Charter 2.2.4.1, last paragraph. Okay. Yes, Farzana.
Thanks, Rafiq. Just want to tell the group what sort of change we made. We actually said that those that are consultants to commercial entities and I think we used the word private parties of ICANN should actually make a statement in their conflict of interest statement and say that they are providing such services and they have such contracts. I think we have the language. I can just copy paste it.
Yes, thanks for that. And maybe just to clarify, you move it to the next issue just to have the people understand what we are talking about. And yes, there was suggestion, some text added in the charter about that part.
Sorry, I thought we were done with the official representatives of orgs and holding. Oh. Office at,
yes.
Oh, yes. So we didn't discuss holding office, did we?
No. We discussed it, and we were taking notes, but you jumped directly to that, which is just to clarify.
Yeah, but I took the notes for Mariam even, so we just adopted NCSG language, and we look at it. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So that was my point on the next agenda items.
Yes, so yes, you are raising the point about eligibility of consultant to commercial entities. Yes, so the question here, I think, is just to clarify any conflict of interest. So that was the kind of proposed as a text. Farzani, can you please copy the text in the chat so maybe if we can read it? Okay, no comment here. So waiting to see if people are happy with the text and they are fine. And I think to respond to Stephanie, I think the text already cover the case you are talking about, since Facebook, for example, is a member of I think business constituency. So, yes, Stephanie.
And let me be clear, Rafiq, I'm not talking about Facebook trying to join or a member of Facebook trying to join. Plenty of us are consultants, And if we took a contract providing consulting services that was in conflict with non-commercial stakeholder positions, we would have to declare that, or even if there was an appearance of it.
So, Stephanie, what we were talking about, we have an echo. So, can you please mute yourself?
You are not speaking.
Okay. The case we are talking about. Tiffany, I think your mic still open. Marian, please mute.
The open mic.
Okay, so the case we are talking about is for consultant working entities that are members of other constituencies. Okay. So that's the case we are talking about. It's not really about having consultancy for any other business in general way.
I would agree with Steph, this is a major concern, but I'd also extend government, not just commercial, but government as well. I think one of the things we're starting to see as we expand our institutional membership base is we have folks coming in here who are being supported by government and commercial firms. It's a minor matter now, but I could see in the future, as our profile rises and this becomes more salient, some of the issues we're dealing with. Where if I'm a government and I want to get more influence in ICANN or a corporation, I just give a grant to a nonprofit, and they become my But I absolutely don't know how to write language to prevent. But I do agree with Stephanie. This is a major concern.
Hi, Ed. Hi, Ed, for a minute. Stephanie, if you can hear me, please come off AC. I think that's where the interference is from. My apologies, everyone.
Okay.
So we still have.
Rafiq, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right, then go on. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks. So we find the issue. Okay, so Ed, can you please repeat what you were saying concisely? I mean, I think most of us couldn't hear well or because of the echo.
Sure, Rafiq, thanks. I first wanted to agree with Stephanie that having commercial firms come in having individuals, for example, come in and get a contract with Facebook, as the example, or any of our commercial colleagues to represent, in effect, their position is a problem. But I think there's a bigger problem here. That is, we should expand it not only to questioning and trying to prevent that, but also those with government contracts as well. Because I think one of the concerns I'm starting to have is we expand our membership base to more and larger, actually, organizations than we used to have here. There's a lot of people are coming into the table as part of their organization, but really representing a government position or a private corporation's position. For example, what if I, as a private corporation, says, hey, I have to get into that NCUC. I want them to align with myself. All I have to do is give a grant to, you know, Foundation X, who is eligible to be a member, but the individual representing Foundation X is basically operating under a grant from a government or a corporation and is basically doing what they tell him. So I don't know how to solve that situation, but I do think it's something we need to take a look at because it's a growing problem here. There are times, rarely now, but there have been times in the last year where I don't know whether the speaker is speaking for his organization, himself, or the people who give them a grant to be here. And I think that's something we need to take a look at. I don't have a solution, though. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. I'm not sure about the government part because it depends. I mean, in developing countries, if you are an organization, it's mostly either, let's say, foreigner funding, or in many countries, just the government that give grants and so on. There's not so many really option to get funding. Maybe I am misunderstood what you try to explain, but I think it's not an easy situation. I see Anna Loop, and I want to speak up. Yes, Anna. And I think this is your first time in our conf call. Welcome to NCUC.
Thanks. This is Anna Loop for the record. I just wanted to sort of respond to Ed's comment about, because I'm a university student, and so one of the issues that actually comes up is a lot of university students, while they're doing independent research, are also, you know, research assistants within other groups that have, you know, who receive government funding or, you know, funding from other groups. And this is something maybe of disclosure that we could implement where people have to sort of update maybe changes publicly instead of just during the membership process, because I know for me, I may be working with a professor who's receiving, you know, a grant from such and such university to do research. And so that might be something to consider.
Okay. So we are talking about disclosure. It's also, I mean, declaring any conflict of interest. Okay, so should we add more text in general about disclosure and conflict of interest and not just about the case of consultant? Okay, can one, I mean, volunteer to suggest a text that will make things, oh, and let's see if there's any telling Anna to do so. Okay, so as an action item, Anna would work on text for about disclosure. Okay. I think we covered most of those issues, so we get some action items here. So we already past 12 minutes the call. So what maybe we can agree here about the next steps, please go through the document and try to make a comment, and please feel free to ask a question. And again, I would really suggest if you have any concern or issue, please propose a text or wording that makes things more easy. And the executive committee will work on a new draft, taking in consideration all comments and the discussion, to provide a document by Wednesday, hopefully, and then we can start a second cycle of consultation. Okay, and any question or any other business? Yes, Farzana.
Thank you, Rafiq. I just wanted to say that while we are doing this work with the EC, what we are going to do is that we are going to go through the text, and we are going to suggest amendments based on the comments that we got now, and kind of resolve the issues. And then what we are going to do is that we are going to have, again, one clean document and another one with track changes. But it will be in a way that the changes are highlighted and you can see what has been changed and what has been recommended. I think that's a good approach. Unfortunately, we don't have the resources. I don't know if someone wants to volunteer. We don't have the resources to reflect that, like in a chart that this was changed to this based on this comment. I think Google Docs does that if you look at the notifications. I will try to do it, but I don't have much time, and I don't know if I can like reflect everything. But if you want to know why something has been changed, you should go to the notification of the Google Doc and look at it and see what sort of changes have been made.
Thanks, Farzana. I think that's what I tried to expand. I think what we can do is to keep the current document, because we have the history and we can see the difference and the addition and so on, the comment, and maybe create a new clean document. I mean, with where we solved the issues, the comments and the questions, and so on. And we will keep this document. So maybe creating a new one, and also, yes, as you said, maybe a redline version to show the difference between the first draft and the second draft, if it's possible. I know that's a lot of work to do, and maybe make it more easy for people to catch what the difference. But if it's possible, we may try that. Okay, guys, any other business? I see there are still some discussion in the Adobe Connect chat, and hope we can use it. But any other business, any other comment you want to add? Otherwise, I will adjourn the call. So waiting for your intervention here. Yes, Farzana.
I want to know about the deadline. Is this something that we are going to decide at the executive committee? Are we going to delay the elections to kind of, because we were late by a week, right? So are we going to delay the elections, or are we just going to stick to our deadlines? Because we did get a lot of last-minute comments. So the comments that we received, most of them were within the past 4 days. So there was a time pressure there. So I'm not sure whether we should stick to the deadline or whether we should extend it.
I guess this is a topic for executive committee. We can adjust the timeline. I think we have some space, but still we cannot delay more. And it sounds that deadline works well with human beings to get them to participate. So I guess always having deadline and reminder works well. So we will discuss this, and I guess when we share the new version and starting the new cycle, we can clarify about the timeline too. Okay. So I see no further comment, and I don't want to keep you more in the call. Thanks again for your contribution, for joining the call, participating, and so on. It's important that all you participate in the NCUC charter, and also the good opportunity to read it and to understand what we are doing. Thanks again, and see you soon.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. Jay, you may now stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you very much.